Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Last week's reading was the first two chapters of the book of Ecclesiastes. Our reading tonight is chapters 5 and 6, and our reading next week will be the last chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes. So our reading tonight is from the middle of this book. It's a continuation of the theme that was established right at the beginning. We talked about this last week. All is vanity. All is vapor, totally vapor. It vanishes in the wind. Nothing lasts on this earth. Our reading tonight brought up several topics, and I would just like to focus on one of them, and that is work. A common reaction that people have when they hear that all is vanity, whatever we might work for is not going to last, is that we might as well just give up. We might as well not get out of bed in the morning. We certainly shouldn't work. We should just live for pleasure, doing whatever we think is going to be the most enjoyable. These are usually all kinds of leisurely activities that we otherwise do not normally pursue because we're doing our work. This, we suppose, would be a lot better if it is vain to build towers that reach to the heavens or try to make a name for ourselves by becoming great. But this desire to escape into pleasure is also vanity. Living this way does not provide the happiness that it's supposed to. Leisurely activities are great as a change of pace. Special food and drink is delicious when it is a treat. When these things become standard fare, we become bored and restless, just like we do with anything else. There seems to be a general law in life that we build up a tolerance to stimulants in our using of them. Very often the idea of doing something is a lot better than when we are actually doing it. For example, I've known several different people who have gotten a house on a lake. Going to the lake is a lot of fun. Boating, fishing, water skiing, and what have you, all sounds like lots of fun, and they are. The whole reason why a person might buy a house on a lake is because they've engaged in these activities and they like them and they want to be able to do them more often and more easily. But in the cases that I know of, where a person buys a house on the lake, they eventually quit doing these activities. They're fun for a while, but then they quit being as fun. Maybe these activities end up only being done when there's company. The company enjoys it because it's different and fresh for them, but the people who live there could take it or leave it. So it seems as though people should be happier if they are devoting themselves full time to leisure activities, but that is not the case. Often respectable people will look down at those who do not have jobs with the idea that those people are undeserving of any pity. It is thought that those without jobs must be living it up, having a grand old time. Generally speaking, I do not think that is the case. Life for these folks appears to me to be a seeking after of one escape after another. They're looking to escape their boredom and their misery, but they cannot. All is vanity. Their dream of letting themselves go, indulging in one treat after another, is supposed to make them happy, but it doesn't. It is in this regard that I think Solomon's words about work are instructive as an alternative to the way that we otherwise naturally think. He says in our reading tonight, "The worker's sleep is sweet, whether he eats little or eats much." He also says, It is beautiful to eat, to drink, and to look for good in all a person's hard work which he has done under the sun. Here we have some positive thoughts about work that come from a man whose general theme otherwise is that all is vanity. The fact is that we human beings were created to work. Even before the fall into sin, God put Adam into the garden. He was to look after it and to tend it. He was to exercise dominion over it and give names to all the animals. God did not set him upon a couch where he could be fed grapes and be fanned and massaged. These things are good in their place, but the place for rest and relaxation is not to be the main thing in life. If they are the main thing in life, then we won't be truly happy. We won't enjoy them for what they are. The main thing in life is that we should be active and that we should work. And this is something good. I certainly hope that God has blessed you with the experience, at least at one time or another, where you have found work to be pleasant. On the other hand, I have no doubt whatsoever that you have all experienced work to be a burden. That's very common. It's rarer, but not all that rare, that we should also enjoy our work from time to time. Sometimes, even when we are really huffing and puffing, slaving away, there may well be a part of us that rejoices. I also hope that you have been blessed by God with the experience of a worker's sleep being sweet. Sleep after hard work is mighty refreshing. It's similar to the way that hunger is the best spice. Ordinary food can taste mighty good to the one who is hungry. The joy in that sleeping and in that eating cannot be bought with any amount of money. It can be only known by the one who has experienced it, but it can only be experienced by the one who has also suffered somewhat. I've done some hard labor during my life. I know the sweetness of sleep and the goodness of food and drink, but I also know how I'm happy to be done with hard work, the hard work that brings about these pleasures. I was glad when the summer was over and I could go back to school and not have to sweat it out in the heat. So something that the fall into sin seems to have done to us is that we've lost our enduring joy in work. Thank God we can catch glimpses of it every now and then, otherwise work would be more disagreeable than it already is. But for the most part, our joy in our work is fleeting. Regardless, to me it seems helpful to point out that work is good for its own sake. Work is good if you're doing one thing or another thing. Work is good if you work indoors or outdoors. Work is good if you get paid a lot or if you get paid a little or if all you get is room and board. What is good about work is that it's productive and it's helpful. But we are prone to grumble and complain and thus make work a torture. Bitterness with our work doesn't make it more pleasant, it makes it just all the harder. Instead of thinking about the work that we do and doing the work well, we end up trying to escape it. We think about how our coworkers are no good, our tasks are no good, our pay is no good. We'd be a whole lot better off if we worked somewhere else with tasks that were different, with better pay. Sadness, laziness, despair, meanness, and a whole bunch of other evil spirits crowd out all joy. It is usually these unhappy people who look with the most envy and anger at those who do not work at all. They wish that they could do the same for themselves. But these are things that can't be changed that easily. They can't be changed simply by arranging outward circumstances, here we are dealing with spiritual things. A diseased spirit cannot be happy no matter what job that person might have. A diseased spirit cannot be happy whether the person has a job at all or doesn't have a job. On the other hand, a healthier spirit is going to find joy in work no matter what crosses get placed upon them. A healthier spirit does not believe that coveting is the key to success. A healthier spirit does not believe that making monuments with money or accomplishments is the key to happiness. A healthier spirit is thankful to God rather than being engaged in never-ending negativity. Notice that I said a healthier spirit instead of simply saying a healthy spirit. On this earth, there is no one who has arrived at perfect health after the fall into sin. The only exception to that is Jesus. There you see a healthy spirit who rejoices in the will of the Father, no matter what the will of the Father might be. With us and with our fallen flesh, we will not arrive at perfect health until we are purified in heaven. Then we will know what it was like for Adam to work before the fall into sin. But until then, even the best of us are going to be tried with times of grumbling and sadness. It is important, however, that we see these things for what they are. They are not good. I know that they are unbelievably common for us to grumble and complain about our work. It's so common that nobody even thinks twice about it being acceptable. It's just a matter of course. But bitterness, boredom, sadness, envy, and other common afflictions with work do not come from good sources. They come from evil sources. There is nothing the devil would like more than to strip us of all joy and thanksgiving. He would have us be blind to anything that is good and super attentive to all that is bad. Our work, no matter what it might be, whether we are paid for that work or not, is a very important part of our life. If this part of our life can be ruined by evil spirits, then what great sadness the devil can work upon the earth. Jesus came in order to destroy the works of the devil. Prayer is a good way to drive the evil spirits away. Thankfulness also, that is, praising and giving thanks to God, is a powerful tonic for our sadness. With the way that Solomon says that all is vanity, a person might think that this would be true also of our work. But Solomon does not say that work is vanity. If you work for money and prestige and retirement, then to be sure, that is vanity. But that is not why work is given to us. Work is the way that we can live happily and help other people. Work is an important part of our life as God's creatures. And so in this very important part of our life that takes up so much of our time, I ask that God would bless you and that he would drive away evil spirits from you, that he'd give you his Holy Spirit, and that your hearts may be filled with love and thankfulness. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.